I think it's entitled as "Fuck This Place." I lost the war. I hate you all. You're the whore. Where's my dog? Because girls are such a drag. Like, I fucking love that. Like.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 182 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Where are you? Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, damn it. And this week, we're getting into all the small things behind pop punk's most legendary band.
I am not feeling this. And how old are you? I mean, what's your age again? Yes, as you might have guessed, this being episode 182, it had to be a Blink 182 special, didn't it? I swear on my family's life, we tried our absolute best, other than making a spaceship and getting caught by Tom DeLong. I don't know what else we could have done to have tried to get one of Blink 182 on. I've even had a giant Brazilian butt lift, so I've got a massive ass in hopes of tempting Travis. That didn't work. So now I've just got a massive ass for no reason. But yes, so this week we are looking at the legacy of the mighty Blink 182.
Yes, August 2022 solidifies the 30th anniversary of Blink. So with this being our 182nd episode, it would have been stupid not to do something special and celebrate an act who've defined generations of alternative music. So we've gathered a supergroup roundtable of not only Blink superfans, friends of the podcast, but three key figures in modern-day pop punk to discuss their legacy, impact, and influence on the scene today. So joining us will be Derek Descanio of State Champs, a man full of secrets. We also have arguably...
Full of secrets? He's full of secrets.
He's got more secrets than you'll ever know. It's one of State Champs' lyrics, which...
Well...
Yeah. Arguably one of Blink-182's biggest fans ever, we have Ben Barlow of Neck Deep, and the first introduction on the podcast to our good friend Steph O'Sullivan, the vocalist of Irish emo band Greywind. They released a debut album a few years back with Jason Perry, and she interestingly has her own Blink-182 nickname that we'll be hearing a little bit later on. But Sean, honestly, things don't get bigger than the 182, whether it's the Siri lyrics, huge hooks, or good time feels. Their influence is really the blueprint across a lot of music today.
Oh, yes, undoubtedly. You can't hear any punky bands nowadays without thinking that somehow Blink 182 were involved in it. As always, I am thankful for Blink 182's music. Don't get me wrong, when I was a kid growing up, as we later find out, I wasn't originally too chuffed on them, but yes, now I've grown up, I've matured, and I acknowledge their importance in our scene and how they're legends. Yeah, the fact that I got to go on tour with them was mental to me, absolutely fucking mental. But yeah, we get into that later on. Thanks again to Ben, Derek, and Steph for coming on. We had a really, 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 really good chat, a really good time. And it was a good afternoon.
Yeah, it's just a gigantic laugh and love fest for all things 182. I mean, we talk about how everyone first discovered the band, the kind of mature side to their music and genius songwriting, the whole Tom DeLonge versus Mark Hoppus vocal accents, how Travis Barker is just an insane drummer, the viewpoint from Matt Skiba, touring and collaborating experiences some of our guests and Sean have had with the band, their favourite songs, and just a whole lot more. So we're just celebrating everything Blink-182. And as you mentioned, a few people will probably listen to this and go, oh, they didn't get any of Blink on. Well, normally I'd say fuck the haters and let's not bother with it. But just to say quickly, we did try. The amount of emails I have sent to Mark Hoppus's people in particular is criminal. I'm surprised I haven't been given a restraining order. But I have had a lot of positive conversations with management and people in the industry about it happening someday down the line. So fingers crossed, we'll have that at some point. But this is a really fun celebration and I'm glad we got to do something a little different. But before we go straight into the conversation, of course, just a quick reminder, if you enjoy these podcasts, what we do and having a laugh with us every single Friday, head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin to support us. You get loads of extra rewards there for your subscription and get involved in our wonderful community of people that we love very, very, very much.
Give us a follow and send us messages at sapninpod on Twitter and Instagram. That's at sapninpod. Let us know what you thought of the episode, future guests. And if you are seeing My Chemical Romance anytime soon, because I am going to be DJing at the 2 Milton Keynes shows, then I'll be DJing at the VIP bar at Warrington. After the Warrington show, I'm going to be DJing at Asylum. And then after the Cardiff show, I'm going to be DJing Team Up at Kong's 2 in Cardiff. After that, My Chem show as well. So I'm going to be seeing them 4 times, I believe. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
I'm excited to head down to a couple of the shows myself as well. But it's going to be a very, very busy time for us. Festival season's fast approaching. There's a lot going on. So keep up to date at SapninPod on Twitter and Instagram. But enough about this. Let's go. Don't wait. The intro is almost over. This is the legacy of Blink-182 on episode 182 of Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin! Aye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sapnin!
Yes! So here we are celebrating the 182nd episode of Sapnin. We wanted to pay homage to the pop punk genre defining icons that are Blink-182. and we've gathered a super group roundtable of guests to discuss the band's impact on the scene, music today, and just all of our lives. So we have returning for the third time, Derek of State Champs.
Hello! Woo!
For the fourth time...
Wait, it just seemed to be just me cheering for Derek then. I don't like that.
Yeah, Derek!
Yeah, cool. So everybody... Right, Morgan, give Derek that intro again, and we're all going to cheer.
Oh my God.
I feel bad now that I didn't cheer.
Right, it's okay, guys.
So we have...
Yes!
Holy shit.
That was bad.
On for the fourth time... Ben of Neck Deep.
Yeah.
Boom.
Take it. I'm used to it.
I'm making a Sapling podcast debut, Steph of Greywind.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
So thanks for you all for taking the time. Just to start, obviously, we're all fans of Blink-182 here. So what was the first time you all discovered Blink, discover their music, saw a music video, anything like that? What's your first Blink-182 memory? And let's start with Ben.
Mine was honestly probably a similar way to a lot of people in the UK of a similar age, and just watching Kerrang, basically. Watching Kerrang and MTV as a kid, and probably hearing them on the radio, I guess, around about the time that, like, What's My Age Again and stuff came out. Just thinking they were cool. I think at that time, like, I'd kind of had an intro to music through my brother. I was like super onto Green Day and like a lot of the Tony Hawk soundtracks and all that, and just whatever was on Kerrang, basically. I loved Slipknot too. Just kind of fell in love with Blink, like found our own little variation on what my brother had kind of passed on to us, kind of thing. And yeah, just fell in love with them. Just thought they were super cool. Thought they were super funny. I think it was the fact that like they were funny that was one of the main things as well. Like, yeah. And again, it was like a little variation on what had been passed on to me. So yeah, they were the first band that I think I discovered. And well, me and Seb, my brother from the band, it's the first time we'd found a band that we felt like, oh my God, this is our band. You know what I mean? So yeah, probably like 7, 8 years old, maybe a bit younger.
Wow. And Derek?
I think around the same time, definitely MTV, definitely the radio. It was the first time I was like, this is the first time I was introduced to pop punk, I think, at that age. And, I think a lot of it came from like movies that I wasn't way too young to be watching at that time too. The movies like American Pie and Not Another Teen Movie and stuff like that. So those soundtracks I still go back to, and I'm like, these are the fucking soundtracks that I love. So I think that was the biggest introduction for me. And it's the same thing with Ben, just discovering a youthful kind of silly intro to punk rock and pop punk and whatnot, and not taking yourself so seriously. And I thought that was awesome, you know?
Yeah, mine's pretty much the same answer again. Kerrang TV, yeah. Seeing Damn It video, I remember thinking, oh my God, why is this so funny? Like, no one else is doing this type of thing. I've never seen anything like this. And then, obviously, when all the small things came out, I was like, oh my God, this is, like, who are these people? And then, again, like, my brother showed me so many bands, and Blink was one of those bands. He'd bring home, like, albums from school that his friends would have given him and passed them on to me. And then that kind of introed me into... like rock, basically. Like, I would then go on to love My Chemical Romance and like Take Him Back Sunday and stuff like that. So they were kind of the intro into that for me.
Nice. Well, yeah, I remember I kind of got into them later than that, really, because I remember when I first heard, I'm like, as much as I come across like I like comedy or I think I'm funny, I was just like, oh, it's too much, boys. It's too much. Like, even though I was so into Limp Bizkit, right? Yeah. I was so serious about Limp Bizkit. I was like, the fucking metal is metal. I'm not listening to any of this silly shit. Yeah. I'm not listening to this guy talk about having sex with his dog's bum, right? but I was listening to a man call himself the Chocolate Starfish Navigation System. So... here we are now. Yeah, they've been a band 30 years this year, actually. So
that's
this
crazy.
Is also the 30th anniversary of Blink.
Damn, I remember the 20th anniversary. I remember Seb paid a ridiculous amount of money for a 20th anniversary Blink poster. Still has quite a few. They're gnarly. Like, yeah, it's like some crazy like silver foil thing. Yeah, paid a lot of money for it. And yeah, that doesn't seem like that long ago. 10 years, like the 20th anniversary, I remember that seeming like a big deal. And as a fan being like, yeah, they're like such a legacy band. But in the 10 years since then, like, fuck, a lot's kind of changed.
The 30th even. Anniversary, they're older than me. Let's go.
Yeah, straight up.
Wow.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I've just realized that.
Yeah, Ben. So, yeah, mentioning that 20th anniversary, somehow, right? I don't know what's happened to you, right? But a few times, for some reason, my old terrible band, The Blackout, we would be offered these ridiculous big pop punk shows. So, like, we replaced Sum 41 five times on different things. And then once we got asked to go on tour with the Blink 182, look.
Oh, no, that's so sick.
And it was the 20th anniversary, look.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah.
Always a good one to brag about that. Like, I kept the, we played with them in Brixton quite early in our career. I think we'd only been a band for a couple of years. And that, honestly, it was weird because all I'd ever really wanted to do, like, once we played a show, I was like, guest meeting or playing with Blink would probably be, like, as, you know, as much as I could ask for. And, like, within a couple of years, we played with them. And, yeah, the dressing room, like, sign with Blink's logo and our logo on it, I kept for a good... I probably still got it somewhere. You got it. Though.
That was the goal. And then it's like, all right, what now? I guess we can hang it up now.
For me, it was like, I don't know. They were such a pivotal band to me. Like, yeah, they were fucking silly and a bit whatever. But, like, honestly, they really were, like, the first band I fell in love with. To the point where, like, I think me and Seb, like... knew their birthdays and shit. It was kind of
wow. Their favorite colors.
About it. Yeah, probably just reading everything we possibly could.
Well, you guys mentioned there how much of a legacy band they are considered today, and I think that speaks volumes for both their music, their kind of appearance with comedy, and kind of fashion sense. Everything combining with that, you have all toured with many other bands that would be considered in this generation of pop punk and alternative music. And it does seem that their influence is everywhere. So I'm sure just kind of they have been a band you've all made connections with in terms of friends with other bands, tours, music, everything like that.
Yeah, in terms of like who people on tour, like I don't think there's anyone in the world of alternative music apart from the odd metal head, Sean. but no, honestly, it does tend to be like very few people will ever be like, nah, not really a huge fan. Like everyone is a Blink fan. There's always a secret Blink fan, like a dude from a band that you would never expect to be any, and one of them's got like a huge Blink tattoo or whatever. They're fucking everywhere, man.
Yeah, they're definitely one of the legacies where, you know, there will be, I think, another 10, 20 years, another generation where you still go, oh, I've heard of Blink 182. There will be other comparable bands that are like in the same world or whatever that will kind of, you know, not get to that point still and not carry on as long as a band like Blink 182. So it's cool to kind of see. At least people will go, oh, yeah, I remember that band in like 50 years. It's crazy to think about, you know?
Yeah. How long is it going to be until they are considered classic rock?
Classic rock. Do people call them classic? Does the Gen Z call them classic rock?
Classic punk rock. Classic pop punk.
That's when I know I'm old. When people call Blink 182 classic rock, I'm done. Like,
yeah, might be time to hang it up then. I don't know though. Like, it's weird that we'll grow up and like our parents probably fucking like, oh, I don't know. Whatever generation your parents grew up in, 80s, 90s, 70s, whatever, they've probably got some legendary band who totally makes sense being a legendary band now. It's just weird that instead of like Zeppelin and like fucking Queen and shit, we're going to be like Blink.
Be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. We're the musical pioneers of my day, mate.
We're going to be bringing out the old Blink records to our kids.
Yeah, like my dad is obsessed with like Ozzy Osbourne and like Queen and all that. So my house is like covered in memorabilia of all that. So my house will just have Blink 182 microphones all over the house.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just weird. It's just weird to think of those, because, you know, when you think of like Freddie Mercury and stuff like this, I genuinely think of like classic frontmen. But now, you're going to be like, yep, the band who wrote the dog shagging song, classic rock, unbelievable.
Well, obviously, all three of you are vocalists, and I think over the years, both Mark Hoppus and Tom DeLonge's kind of different vocal styles and accents have been portrayed as massive inspiration for modern music today. And in the pop punk scene, you've all seen bands kind of imitate one of their accents in between. So, like, the question to you guys is that when you were kind of forming these bands and writing music for the first time, were they a big influence in the way you became singers and songwriters, or were you trying to stay away from that slightly because of how iconic they were and you didn't want to come across as just another carbon copy of Blink-182?
I mean, especially in pop punk music, it's so hard not to do the Tom DeLonge voice, like when you're singing it or when you think of it. And it's become such a meme and a viral thing, but it's really an iconic thing that kind of shaped the way that is a vocal style in this scene. So it is kind of a thing that it's like in the back of your head, it's like, no, don't do too much whiny Tom DeLonge, even though like that's so iconic. It's a staple thing. If you copy it, people can kind of see that, you know, in a lot of ways, but that just kind of shows the power that they had, that they set the tone with, you know, at least that's what I think.
I think I subconsciously do it. When I was growing up, it was all like American bands. So I've even got compared once saying I'm a female Tom DeLonge. That's the only comparison.
Oh, that's sick. That
is the best compliment. That's the only comparison that I like. I'm like, call me that all the time. So yeah, so I think I'm subconsciously, I'm not like, where are you? Like I'm not purposely doing it, but it just accidentally slips out.
You can't help it.
Oh, on our last record, I actively tried to copy Tom DeLonge. There was one part that just totally fit that like roomy, like in feeling this when he does the fit. That whole bit. And I was like, we should do like that thing. And we were even going to get him to do a guest spot. And he was like kind of into it. I was maybe going to do it. But then I liked the part so much and had so much fun doing it. And like it probably just would have taken a lot longer than we would have liked. And it was just like, it's like, fuck it, no, I want my Tom moment. I want to have that time where I can pretend to be Tom for
having
a
to tell them, like, you're going to have, I got to take this one.
I'm doing
man.
You.
Sorry.
No. Yeah. So it's a bit of a weird one, but like, I honestly, their vocal styles, man, I've kind of looked into this shit as well about like, especially, or my brother sent me an article about it just because like, I've been not criticized, but like people are always like, things with American accent, whatever. For the same reasons, like it was just ingrained into me.
I've got that too as well, all the time.
Dude, I saw a thing that somebody posted today that was like, why do non-American singers lose their accents when they sing?
Dude, the Beatles did it, man.
Yeah, and it's like people can get tech, like, you know, crazy with it. Talk about, you know, how vowel sounds get stretched and precise articulation of the consonants are lost. So therefore, there's a baseline that sounds vaguely American. So when you sing, unless you just talk sing without melody, then you're going to hear an accent.
You have to pronounce stuff like a certain way. Like, yeah. So you don't purposely, you just say, hey, y'all.
You can rhyme more as well. Like,
yeah,
if you,
exactly.
Like, instead of like, it's not where are you. It's
yeah,
where
it wouldn't sound the same.
No.
Like, yeah. Wouldn't have ever been iconic if you didn't do that. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also that is, I delving into that a little bit more. Like it's, generally as well, they say that most people sing for that reason of like morphing vowel sounds and words and stuff. It's like generally a California thing. And that generally they do attribute a lot of that stuff to like punk bands and stuff. And I'm pretty sure in the article I read, Blink were even put as a fucking major example of like how much they fucking like just... Yeah,
well, I'm sure.
It's because they're
set
iconic.
The tone
it's
for that.
Yeah, exactly. Like it wouldn't have been Blink either if it wasn't like that playoff of like Mark and Tom's different vocal styles. Like yeah. Mark was kind of like softer and a bit warmer, and Tom was like a lot snottier and like had that sort of higher range. It seemed like, and they both wrote differently too. Like Mark was like a little bit more sensitive. I feel like maybe like
poetic,
a little bit more,
yeah,
maybe a little bit more poetic, and Tom had way more angst and was way more sort of like. Yeah, angsty, I think, and kind of snotty about things. And I think that playoff just was fucking perfect for me because you would have... they used to alternate on records. It would be a Mark Tom and a Mark song, Tom song, a Mark song, maybe both of them. Like, oh, I love that shit. I always thought that was so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, literally. But you said, like, mentioning that as well, I think this kind of gave a lot of bands freedom listening to Blink early on that you can kind of... not get away with writing lyrics about anything, but kind of go off and write stories and be a bit funny for a part if need be. I mean, Sean's mentioned a few times about the whole dog in the ass, but they mentioned Warped Tour, and that was a whole gateway to that scene and popularity of that as well. So as lyricists, I mean, do you take that away from it as well, that you can drop in a thing like Warped Tour? But you can still be super serious as well, like some of their songs like I Miss You or Stay Together for the Kids.
They kind of broke down the boundary of being able to sing about anything, whether it's like super immature and silly, or it can be like a little like metaphorical and outside of the box. But for me, what I thought was awesome about them that I still take with me when writing songs is how they can set a scene that's very visual with a lot of songs. So, you know, I took her out Friday night, started making out, took off my pants. Like, it's a whole scene. Like, you can hear, you can see a movie, you can put it all into your head. And that's something that ultimately makes you feel something down the road at the end of a song. So I think about that every single time. And that, that I think about Blink every time I do that too.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. That's my exact answer. That's why you stole it.
A question to all of you, though. Me and Sean were discussing this beforehand. When did you all realize what the title of Take Off Your Pants and Jacket actually meant?
Dude, not for ages, right? I remember as well. Because, like, again, like I mentioned, me and Seb were, like, super young when we were getting into Blink, and, like, I'd, like, fairly strict parents, or at least like when we were fucking kids, she was like, I don't want to, this album has a song about fucking dogs in it, like, straight up. Like,
but she, your mother was me.
And she was like, get the Limp Bizkit CD instead, for fuck's sake.
$3 bill. Get a bit of $3 bill on, Ben.
But I remember this fucking, she asked the dude who was working at like the MVC or the HMV that we went to or whatever, the fucking cop. He was like, to be honest, I don't think it's suitable for kids. He was like, even the title's a bit risque. And I thought, the title's fine. It's just Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. There's nothing wrong with that, you prick. And then 10 years later, I was like, oh, jacket. Yeah, such a cop. I think me and Seb even gave him the eyes, like, you fucking prick. Yeah, me and Seb, I used to have to, like, if we wanted like a Limp Bizkit CD or whatever, we used to have to take the price sticker and put it over the parental advisory sticker and be like,
no, that's a power move. But I remember always having to get the edited versions of CDs that were too explicit at that point. I don't know if they had an edited Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
No, I don't know if Blink did. Eminem had one. I definitely had
the Eminem show, like, non-explicit, yeah, I had that, you know? Yeah. But I don't think Blink ever did that, and that's punk rock. I get it.
Was that Eminem album just full of silences? Like, what are you going on?
It was a mute album, yeah.
Yeah. He just says, napkin. Yeah, he just goes, napkin! Anakin!
Yeah, it's a lot of
records. Mad.
Yeah, no, I don't know why they would do that with Eminem either. Like, why are they trying to make Eminem like kid friend? I mean, I fucking loved Eminem, but it was because he swore. I was like, I don't want the non-swearing version. Fuck that. I think I remember actually being a bit sneaky, and I maybe swapped my shitty one with her like full fat one, like with all the fucking swears on it. Nice. And I was like, switch that out.
There you
and
go.
It was a very subtle difference. The color of the CDs were very different, were very slightly different. One was like a more maroon and one was like more red.
Nice.
Just well, yeah. That's how you tell.
Yeah, imagine you're going to put your Eminem album on and you think you've got the full fucking 18 plus version, and all of a sudden fucking happens over whenever the swear words. You're like, what the fuck?
Fucking tell you some shit.
Yeah, somebody's scratched the CD I've bought. This doesn't make sense.
I
would,
like, sing it. Then if the real version was on with like other friends, I only know how to sing the edited version. So you're missing all these other words, and they're like, "What are you doing, bro?" Like, oh, I don't know. I just said, I don't know.
Steph, you mentioned being called the female Tom DeLonge few times, but like, is there been any other thing with Blink over the years where you've just kind of taking influences away from that in terms of songwriting or performance or anything? Has Blink really opened your eyes back in the day to certain aspects of the industry?
Yeah, like even musically, like I know some people call it Untitled album and some people call it self-titled, so I call it Untitled, but that album especially musically for us, I know a lot of people might not think it when they listen to us, but that's a huge influence, like even the pianos and drum sounds and stuff. And even when we recorded in Texas our debut album, and Jerry Finn, who did a bunch of Blink albums, all of his equipment was there, so we got to use a bunch of their amps and stuff. So it was sick. So that was really cool. I was like, oh my god, wait, Tom DeLonge has touched this. So yeah, that was like a surreal, like, fangirl experience, but I like that we are part of that on our album now. So yeah. So, like, stuff like that, and like the pianos, little things that you wouldn't kind of associate Blink 182 with pianos, but just little moments like that we take into our music. Yeah, we don't sing about dogs though in our songs.
No.
That's maybe okay. Album two, maybe.
That's
album
just, two. Yeah. Still that's just the Blink thing. I was going to say, it's only them who can really get away with that shit. When
who else can do that? you can't really do that without people going, oh, you sound like, that's like a Blink thing. That's, yeah, like then that you just sound weird now.
The self-titled, totally agree. Like I always tell people if they're like, Blink are kind of a joke band, I'm like, that third album is, well, not third album, I always say third, I know it's not a third, but it's like the golden ones are Enema, Takeoff and the Untitled. But yeah, that's like legit a fucking really, really well written, like musically expansive and creative, like some of the song structures, like, and just some of the creative choices. Some songs like build forever and other songs, you know, are just straight in there, but and a nice mix of like electronics and stuff that they're bringing into their music then, I thought was really cool. Like I think they said themselves that record was like heavily like Cure and emo, basically Cure and Smiths and a lot of old punk and old emo and stuff like that. And you can definitely hear that in the tracks, but like done in a way that, I think it's like the best and most well-received like shift in sound or progression of a band that's ever happened. Like every band like usually takes like a record in the middle, or maybe it's just doesn't quite hit as well. Like that transition from Takeoff to the Untitled, like in terms of musicality and like just sonically, was fucking nuts.
Yeah. Was Feeling This on that album? Was Feeling
yeah.
This?
Yeah.
Like that song literally changed my, I remember changing my opinion on Blink. I was like, this is fucking unbelievable. Everything they were doing, from like the fucking roomy drums and like you said earlier with the fucking vocals and stuff. I just loved it. I thought that was the one that made me go, oh, okay, they can be serious. Mm. And this is insanely well done. Yeah. Yeah, I just remember hearing the end and being like, this is like Taking Back Sunday on cocaine, just with the end, with the melodies flowing over each other and it all just going fucking nuts. I just remember being like, wow, oh, fair play to this Blink-182. They're not just trying to offend me with their silly jokes. they can actually write ditties. And yeah, after that, I just fell in love with them slowly. It's fucking unbelievable. They're still going to this day.
There's a lot of pressure going into that album too, to fill after the last one. So it's like to come out and like have as many hits as that one did too. Like it kind of solidified a lot for them, I think.
Well, Steph mentioned Jerry Finn, and he's like, absolutely. I think like once Seb started getting like into the production side of it, fuck, it might have even been like seeing that side of, I think that Blink MTV documentary and stuff, maybe even could have been one of the things that planted the seed for Seb wanting to record bands. But Jerry Finn was like an absolute wizard. Like, he's one of those dudes that, like, you know, obviously no longer with us. He's one of those dudes that would be like top of the list of like who you'd want to work with. Like, fuck, who knows like what even Blink could have been if Jerry Finn was still alive. Cause I do think they leaned on him pretty heavy for that record, because any good producer should sort of be an extra, but sort of outside member. And I think he just knew that band so, so well. And the struggle that went into that record, like you say, Derek, like that, that MTV doco shows that. I think there's one part where they're like, yeah, we've been in the studio for 6 months, like don't even have any songs, like just fucking around.
Shit.
And just like, yeah.
I gotta watch that. I don't know if I've seen that. I need to watch
damn
it.
That it's sick. It's a really good watch. Yeah, it's like MTV making the album or whatever, and it's them like in this house that they rented out, and then it takes way longer than they think it's gonna take, so they rent out another house and like, yeah, eventually get it done, but they definitely struggle with it for sure. And it's good to watch. I remember watching that as a kid and thinking like, yeah, sick. This is what making an album looks like. It was probably like my first insight into that sort of stuff.
And it's not that easy even when you're that famous at that point, you know, like there's still a lot of struggle, and if not even more pressure and way harder, because there's so much hype and there's so much budget at that point. I can't even imagine. So it's like to take as much time as they did is one thing, but then to actually come out with the product that was necessary. Like that's fucking cool.
Yeah. Imagine how furious the label were.
Oh my God.
Another 6 months in another mansion in the hills for you guys to write.
Yeah. Hey, have you got a demo? No, we haven't got a single demo to play.
We've just
you.
Been like kicking it, man. Sorry.
That's nuts. Wow.
If only you could do that today. That would be that'd be an experience in itself.
No.
Well, you guys, some of you touched on earlier your own personal experiences with members of Blink-182. Obviously, Derek, Ben, and Sean, you've all toured with them as supporting bands on massive arena shows.
Sorry.
No, me and Steph haven't toured with them. I don't know why I haven't. Surely,
crying, like, so
surely they should ask me. I don't know. But what is Blink like as a touring party in terms of bands in like looking after you and just being able to open up with such an iconic band? Because you do hear some nightmare stories when you open up for a big band like that, that there can be a disconnect. But it does seem Blink-182 like to make sure that whole party is a family. Can you just tell us some of your little experiences from those tours?
Also, our experience with them was fucking sick. Like, again, we spent the whole summer on that tour with Blink and Lil Wayne. Again, like, probably the wildest, just the craziest tour to be offered in terms of, like, yeah, no one saw that coming. But
what a package.
yeah. And the fact that, again, that's cool. Like you say, they want to keep it, they want to keep it kind of not on brand. I don't know. The fact they asked us when they probably could have asked like so many other people, like it definitely seems like the LA scene for pop punk or like whatever is happening. Like they could have easily gone down that road and probably just got something like that and it would have been great, but they asked us. And so I was like, oh shit, that's like a huge honor as it is. And obviously we're going to take it, but in terms of being on tour, like, yeah, they're a huge band now, you know what I mean? Like you don't really see too much of them, but when you do see them, it's like, not the normal people, you know, they just want to make sure everyone's having a good time. Yeah. They were just happy to be on tour. It seemed like, I think maybe in a way we were kind of like the youthful fucking idiots of the tour anyway. So we were just fucking around and like, yeah, we got told off a couple of times by Blink's crew, just because we were fucking around doing things that we shouldn't be. But I think we spoke to Mark about it at one point and he was like, I don't give a fuck. He's like, do whatever the fuck you want. It's like, none of it's come from me. Yeah.
He doesn't care.
It's really cool. Like all their crew are super nice. Like, and no one's walking around with like security and like no one's too big to talk to you. Like I'd bump into Mark playing Pokemon Go with this kid and just be like, sick. I saw a Blastoise over there or whatever. Like that's how nerdy it gets, I guess. Yeah. Cool. At the end of the day, like just normal fucking people. And yeah, looked after us super, super well. Like just the fact that they gave us the opportunity. We didn't have to like fight for any, like, we weren't mistreated. It wasn't like, oh, sick, the dressing room's a toilet today or whatever. You know what I mean? We were always super well looked after and just thankful for the opportunity. And I think just the fact that they asked us like shows that they're kind of in touch with like the side of the scene that's maybe been keeping things going for a while. Like, so yeah, they're still the best.
Yeah, Ben, you guys spent a lot of time on tour with them, obviously. My more experience, like with Mark particularly, was in the studio. We haven't done like a full tour with Blink, but when I met Mark is just when he showed up to the studio one day to drop a guitar off to one of the producers we were working with. And then he noticed that we were in there, intro, hey, how you doing? And then he just goes, can I stay for the day and hang out? Let's write a song. And then that was literally it. That's how it started. Yeah. Like, yeah,
no.
So we...
No, Mark, turn around.
I almost wanted to say no, I was too scared. So within 2 minutes of meeting this guy, you know, obviously starstruck, like weird, like, but he was the very, very easy to like calm it all down and make it normal. But within 2 minutes, he was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll hang out for the day. Who's the singer? Like, let's go out and take a hike. Let's go hiking and write lyrics within 5 minutes of meeting him. So like now I'm like out walking around a pool and like, and we're writing lyrics, but he was like, he was quick to bring the comedy factor in and like start like jabbing at me and like asking like funny questions. He had an iPad the whole time and he brought up our Wikipedia page and is going through all of our like past members in the band. He's like, ooh, it's like, spill the tea, man. Why'd you kick this guy out? What happened? What did this guy do? So like, you know, icebreakers right off the bat and like super like welcoming and like really, really cool. Didn't ask for any money. He sang on a song of ours for like the next day and like we didn't have to pay him anything. He didn't care. He was just having fun and he's super normal. And I love that. And I'll always look back on that as like, that's fucking cool. You know, you've been doing it. You don't need to be doing stuff like that. That was really fucking cool.
I just remembered one more where, he caught wind that West, our guitarist West had shotgunned the Dr. Pepper. Don't know why that was like, and he just walked into our dressing room one day and was just sort of like, hey peasants, like I heard one of you guys is, shotgun the Dr. Pepper, like someone do it. Like someone fucking
he wanted to see it.
Yeah, well there was like him and a few other people who's like, who shotgunned the Dr. Pepper the other day? That sounds bad, like, oh, it's bad / funny. Someone do it. And West immediately was like, okay, Mr. Mark, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Put himself through pain, like fucking heartburn and shit after it. Like
right, yeah. When Mark always tells you to shotgun a Dr. Pepper, you shotgun a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, you do.
Do you know what? Yeah. If I'd known that story prior to this, we would have finished this fucking chat all shotgun a Dr.
Don't
Pepper.
Don't make me do it. Don't make acid refund. No way.
Yeah, oh, God. That would not be good audio. That would not have been
so good. But my situation with them was very similar. They were absolutely fucking, couldn't have been more accommodating to us. We literally didn't have a clue if they knew about us or not, to be honest. Well, it was back in 2012. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it was Travis, Mark, and Tom were all in the band at the time. Am I going a bit behind the scenes with this?
Emerging into Wayne's. Is that Wayne's? Is that Wayne's room?
Yeah, that's Wayne's. Yeah, that's
yeah,
Wayne's.
Yeah. He's in Wayne's world.
You're becoming part of the furniture a little bit.
Sorry. Yeah, they all had separate dressing rooms because I think this was close to just before Tom left, I think.
Yeah.
And they had all American Rejects on the tour as well. And we turned up on the first date with our big fucking backdrop that said, fuck the blackout, because we were like, oh, Blink-182 fans are going to fucking hate us and this is going to be funny. So we had this big fuck the blackout backdrop. And then we turned up and they were like, oh, you can't put that up tonight. And we were like, boo.
Damn.
And they were like, oh, you can use our LED screens, though, and put anything you want on it. And I was like, yes, let's put Blink-182 behind us. Let's try this. But yeah, we ended up doing loads of different ones for different venues. So in Nottingham, we had Kevin Costner from Robin Hood behind us saying, hey, it just said, ye blackout, which... If you don't know anything about the blackout. If you don't know anything about the blackout, these six Welsh twats come on stage, right? They've got this big backdrop of Kevin Costner, who you probably don't know if you're a young Blink fan at that time anyway. It says ye blackout. So if you're interested in the band, you'll Google ye blackout. You'll find fuck all. You will find nothing. In Wales, we had Tom Jones saying, look out, it's a blackout. And then in Liverpool, we had Cilla Black saying, surprise, surprise, it's the Black House behind us. And yeah, they couldn't have been more accommodating to us, to be honest. They give us everything. We had all the space on the stage we needed. They had two separate caterings. I don't know if that was the thing when any of you guys on tour with them. Travis would have his own because he's vegan. And I guess
I think Travis had his own chef with him, maybe. Like,
chef?
Yeah.
Of course he'd have.
You know, like you do. Like you do.
Yeah. Yeah, that side of things is pretty nuts. Like,
well deserved. I don't know.
Yeah.
Travis
is a fucking beast as well. Like, he is busy. Like, when someone says, like, they're pretty busy, like, he was always either playing drums or going somewhere and doing something with someone. And, like, it was fully on it. And, like, he had all his kids out on tour, too. And again, because we were the fucking idiots at the tour, we were riding around on scooters and like fucking kicking footies about and skating and just being idiots. His kids obviously gravitated towards that then and were like, what are these guys doing? And yeah, we ended up like, being the little crash, I guess, for a bit. But it was cool. They had their dogs with them as well. So I was sick. Give me the dogs. Aww. Yeah, cool. So they have like a little tour dog.
Cool that they could do that. They could just bring the whole family out, have their own, you know, accommodations for whatever they need. Like, you know, they've been doing it long enough and it's deserved.
When we did those dates in 2012, they had Travis brought his family over. I think it was obviously a couple of years after the
plane crash
obviously. So he had got the ferry over from New York to London, which was taking him about a week, I believe, to get over from New York to the UK to come and play. And then they had a bus each and they had all their family with them. And my brother was out on tour with us and he had made a BMX with a sidecar on it, right? And fuck knows why. But he was using it to transport the merch boxes back and forth to merch. He left it for 2 minutes and turned around, it had gone. He'd ran into the arena going, where the fuck is my bike? To see Travis Barker just doing circles on it in the middle of the arena.
That's great. Oh,
and I was like, sorry, Travis. And I was like, Jay, leave him! Leave him! Let him on the bike, for fuck's sake!
Going, it's Travis. Can I have a go on your bike? That's your bike.
Hey, Travis, it's a lovely bike you've got there. I've noticed it's got a sticker from my country there. That's weird. Can I have a go? But yeah,
well, whatever.
Yeah, they were lovely to us. And I remember having a conversation with Mark about shoes because he had the Nike Yeezys on at the time. And I had a pair of ridiculous silver shoes that he really liked because my feet looked like robots. and yeah, it was they were fucking lovely and their crew was lovely and they couldn't have been nicer to us. And I was a little bit gutted inside because I wanted them to be dicks so I could tell people they're dicks. But no!
They were lovely.
But hearing all of these story stuff, I mean, it is either working with or touring with Blink in some capacity, like up there with one of the ultimate dreams for you.
Yeah, definitely. If I had like five bands, they're in that top five. It's like all my childhood bands basically are in my list. I've played with some of them now, but Blink are still on that list. So I need to, Blink, if you're listening, like, I'm here, DM me.
Honestly, yeah, we've done a couple of festivals, but that's it. Like, we haven't done a tour. We had a tour planned that ended up getting canceled because I think Travis was having health issues or like blood clots or something like that. So our actual tour that we had planned didn't end up happening. But we've done festivals, obviously, and recorded with them. So it's still a dream for us as well.
And even hearing how like nice they are, that makes me so happy, because I always find that though, that the bigger bands are always the nicest.
100%.
Yeah, so when you wouldn't expect happy, it. Yeah. You know, you never want to run into a don't meet your heroes situation where they end up being dicks, you know, but it's good to know that going in, you know, that they're already normal.
I think alternative music in general, most people are nice, or most like big bands are nice from the alternative world, just because like, I don't know what it's like for pop stars, but I think because maybe pop stars, it's not the same like touring culture. It's not the same like show culture.
Yeah.
So maybe there's less of a like look after the support bands kind of feel to it. Maybe it's just like, it's almost like a bit of a formality that you're there. But yeah, no, I think like I've heard the Foos are good to tour with and stuff as well, like, because they get it. They've all been in bands. They're not trying to fucking pick over the sport bands. Yeah. Or look after the bands and shit. So yeah, it's good. It's like, I think, you know, it's definitely, it's not one of the reasons, but a testament to why the alternative world is just a bit of a nicer world to be in, I think.
what if we've now set Steph up though? And she's like, oh, well, they're going to be fucking really nice.
Total dicks.
Hi, guys. And they just like, they steal all our merch bike. And they steal everything. Everything's gone.
It's like, don't look me in the eye.
Yeah. Well, Kardashians now. Yeah, Kardashians now, man. Could be pretty heavy. Like...
Yeah. Who are some of those other bands on that list, though, for you, that you mentioned, Steph?
Okay, My Chemical Romance. Obviously, I'm not planning any of those shows that they announced. Absolutely devastated. Like, but yeah, good luck to everyone else that is. I'm not bitter, it's fine. You know. Fall Out Boy, we played with them at Reading and Leeds. So technically, I can say I've played with Fall Out Boy. I like to tell myself that. Well, Take Back Sunday would be my ultimate dream. They're like one of my biggest influences, even vocally, like Adam Lazara and Gerard Way as well. They're like my two like main influences. So yeah, then basically all, even Jimmy Eat World, like basically every old school like emo alternative band.
All the greats. You got a stacked lineup there.
Yeah.
That'd be a good show.
They would. Fingers crossed they all come to fruition for you. But couple of last things on Blink while we start to wind down about them in particular. I mean, obviously we've discussed the kind of impact of Mark and Tom. I think we can all agree that Travis Barker is probably the most iconic drummer in this kind of seeing in our generation and stuff, that goes without saying. But I don't know if this is controversial, but we should bring up Matt Skiba. I mean, obviously, we're all massive Alkaline Trio fans in our own right. But I mean, at the end of the day, when Blink is kind of said and done, how do you all feel Matt Skiba would be perceived in Blink-182? Is he kind of like the cool stepdad that came in for a while? I mean, it's hard to really put it into words, because those albums have done really well. They've written some great songs, but everyone still kind of focus on the Tom DeLonge days.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very hard to associate and like have that as a replacement and not think about it in like a stepdad or a substitute teacher almost. You know, it's very hard, but I mean, he's iconic himself. So how do you manage that? And like, how do you rate that on a scale of it being Blink-182? It's still hard for me. So I don't know. I'm curious how you guys feel about it too.
Yeah, I think because Tom DeLonge's voice is so iconic, that is the hardest shoes to kind of fill. And obviously he did a great job, but everyone's always going to kind of associate like Tom DeLonge's voice and stuff. So like for me, it's always like Tom is it, but I agree with the like just my stepdad. Yeah, I agree with that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for me it's like Skiba's voice is alcohol is Trio and Tom is Blink, and like the mix it works. It definitely, like, I think on stage and like in terms of aesthetic and like someone who gets it I think it was probably the best pick they could have made. And if that's what they wanted to do, I'm sure they could have got any amount of Tom DeLonge impersonators, but I think they wanted to go for someone who's familiar and just as well respected kind of thing, maintain the status of the band sort of thing. But it does feel a little bit Dave Navarro and the Chili Peppers kind of vibe, a bit like, you know, trying out somebody who's already well established, but maybe is just a little different and maybe isn't quite the perfect fit. But I think the only perfect fit for Blink is going to be Tom, really. Like, it is such a, like, the dynamic between Mark and Tom. Like, Travis stands up in his own right, but the Tom and Mark, like, I feel like those two, when they, and I know it's shit to, like, sort of hold people to their old standards and hold people to, like, be like you were when you were 25, you know what I mean? That's like dumb, but like, yeah, I think that's what fans crave. I think that's the thing that, like, ultimately people were first drawn in with Blink. And I think now it's just cool to see him still writing music and still be doing it. Like, to see Travis so prolific with everything that he's doing, and to see Blink, like, still writing records and, you know, a potential. I have a strong theories that Tom is coming back to the band. Like,
I was just,
I don't even think they're really hiding it anymore. Like,
no.
Yeah.
It's just one of those. So I think it's only a matter of time before people get that feel good of Mark and Tom on stage together again. But I don't know. I was just stoked to see Blink playing and writing music again. Like, if Skiba hadn't joined the band, we would have never toured with them because they wouldn't have been touring. So best replacement I think they could have made, but it's never going to be perfect until it's the original three.
We'll take it over nothing, over no more exactly. Blink. Yeah. Oh, so yeah, it's exactly. Like, keep the wheels turning at least so we get it. But like, yeah, you don't want to like gatekeep the old ways and whatnot too. So it's tough.
I take Skiba over NGK.
Correct. Fair.
Very true.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Very, very true. But saying all that as well, I think a nice touch to kind of end the Blink chat would be to, if we could all go around and mention our personal favorite Blink 182 songs and why. So, Steph, if you'd like to start.
That is the hardest question. I'll say Violent, just because that song can take me from like 0 to 100 in a second. Like, if I'm working out, if I'm doing anything, verses is all like cool, and then it just goes absolutely crazy. And the drums, everything about that song, that's the song I wish I wrote. So I would say Violent. Yeah. Or Obvious. Can I add another one? Obvious as well. I love that. And that too. I'm going to take two. Yeah.
And Derek?
I have to do a takeoff song, and I'm going to choose Anthem Part 2 as the opener. And I still like, when I think of like pop punk, iconic pop punk openings to an album, I think of Anthem Part 2 right away. We always use Takeoff and Anthem Part 2 as a reference for like mixing and mastering, like for all of our records still to this day. I think it's probably like the best sounding pop punk album in my mind, in my opinion. And I also hate long intros normally, but since it's the opening song, I think it just sets the tone, and it's probably my favorite.
Yeah, mine's going to be a bit of a weird, I'm going to try and stretch it over a few of them, but, mine would probably be Stockholm Syndrome off of, Untitled. Just the way that that kicks in is fucking nuts. And there's like an allude to it as well. And then when it kicks in with the drums and they're just a da-na-na-na, bah, 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 like those roomy drums are fucking perfect. But, going back, like for a long time, I fell in love with, again, like, you say Blink like writing immature songs. They wrote immature songs, but there was, even back in the day, they had some like kind of songs that kind of pulled at your heartstrings and that I could relate to, I think, growing up. And that's, I think it's the song's called Untitled, and it's from, I think, Dude Ranch. But I used to listen to the live version of that. I think it's the one with the lyrics that's like, I think it's Untitled. It's fuck this place. I lost the war. I hate you all. You're the whore. Where's my dog? Because girls are such a bag. Like, I fucking love that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was so snotty and stupid and just like whatever. But like, I don't know. Me as a 17, 18 year old, like, yeah, that was me. That was me. So yeah. I'd say Untitled Stockholm Syndrome.
Amazing. Right. Well,
Morgan, do you have a favorite Blink 182 song?
I think when I was younger, it was Feeling This, because I just obsessed over those vocal lines, as you talked about earlier. But if I had to pick one, it would be Man Overboard.
Nice.
Really like the bass line. And yeah, Mark's verses in that are really catchy as well. But what about you, Sean?
Flip the question on you. Now, but I just said Feeling This. It's going to be Feeling This, isn't it? It's just that's how it is.
It's an iconic intro as well. Like that's just I also think of Feeling This when I think of, you know, iconic openers, right? Yeah, and they probably open with that more than any song ever for their live show too. So it's like, and it makes so much sense. How can they not?
Yeah, I just remember when it came out, I just remember thinking it sounded so fresh and it sounded more mature for Blink 182, I thought. And then, yeah, I kind of fell in love with them retroactively, I guess, then. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Feeling It, I guess.
Well, we've really, really enjoyed this thing. Again, appreciate you guys taking the time to join us for this kind of super group. We should.
That's fine, though. Just talk about all bollocks. Every week we get together, just talk shit about some bands. Yes!
But while we all have you here, of course, all three of you individually have got a lot going on, so it would be rude for us not to get into that very quickly. And obviously, Derek, State Champs have a brand new record, Kings of the New Age, coming out May 13th. Barely busy time with touring and stuff. Just talk to us about that and just what's going on in the world of State Champs at the moment.
Oh, I'm so excited to finally be putting out music again. It seems like it's been forever. Now looking back on it, it's been 4 years since we put an album out. Like 2 years don't really count there. But it has been 4 years, so it's nutty, man. UK we've been waiting to get back to, so we're going to be celebrating the release out there on the tour for it. May 13th album, and then the tour starts in the UK and Europe right after that, so come out and hang.
Yeah, and on the album Ben features on it in
baby.
Can you guys tell us quickly about how that came about? Was it just a collaboration?
I was
going
to ask Derek, how awkward was Ben to work with?
literally sent the song and you were like, yep, down. And then like took, like, we went back and forth on some shit and it was done in a day. And we were like, yep, that's gonna be a smash scene hit. Can't wait. And now we just can't wait to play it together. Like, we're gonna have a couple opportunities coming up. So now it gets to translate to the live show. I'm psyched.
Nice, Derek. That's a good answer, but it's not one we would accept. So try again. This time, make something horrible up about Ben.
Oh, shit, man. You know, we argued about it. Like, it took him like 20 tries, like, to get it sounds, right.
Yeah. That's the Ben
I
know.
It was lovely.
Yeah. It's the Ben I know as well, to be honest.
But Ben, neck deep, we've got a busy time coming up. You're going to be headlining Slam Dunk Festival, and I'm sure that is something that you guys have just kind of dreamed about from a young age.
Yeah, man, it's nice. It's like, it's validation in a way, you know what I mean? It's like a reward for doing this for 10 years, and I think kind of staking our claim on like UK pop punk, especially, or like with Slam Dunk being the UK pop punk fest. I think it's kind of a nice full circle sort of thing. I think it's a good story for everyone. But generally, man, we're trying to make up for lost time too. Like, you know, the last two, like, well, you know, a couple of years, we obviously had the pandemic and that just fucking, everything got canceled. So we're kind of like literally only just finished those tours that were booked like 2 years ago. Like, so yeah, straight back onto it though. We've hopefully here's a hot juicy scoop. We got some new, people know, but we got new music. So hopefully we'll be having some new music before Slam Dunk. And yeah, you'll hear that. And other than that, just touring.
Nice. Class. Quick one from me, Ben. How difficult were state champs to work with?
Honestly, man. Like, they sent me the song and I basically had to rewrite the whole thing.
Same experience. I've had a same experience.
And they were really, really difficult to negotiate the 0.2 writing percentage I wanted on it.
We're still going back and forth on that.
It was super easy. Obviously, like, me and Derek have toured together many, many times. Like, I'd say our two bands are, I don't know, yeah, probably like the best like band friends, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we've spent the most time with each other out of any other bands, so like, yeah, exactly. It only makes sense.
Yeah,
I
miss you, man.
Awesome.
Hey, we got some cool shit coming up though, so
yeah we do.
I like it. I'm looking forward to all that. And Steph, I mean, great wind of being busy as well, I hear. New music in the pipeline, and you have a rescheduled UK tour dates happening soon as well, I believe.
Yeah, so the summer we're going to spend doing new music finally, because I feel like, again, we haven't released music in like 4 years as well. So, well, actually, we released in 2020, we released one song, but then the pandemic happened, so all of our plans kind of just got a bit messed up. So, yeah, we're going to be doing a UK tour in September. So it's going to be a headline tour across the UK. So that's going to be good. Tickets will be on sale when this is out. So go buy your tickets.
Yeah.
hopefully someday we can headline Slam Dunk like next week. So we're starting. We're less like down here, but hopefully someday we can get to Ben's level.
Well, if there's any way to bring it full circle, just do it neck deep, doing Rip Blink Off. That's kind of our.
Exactly. I'm the female Tom DeLonge.
You need to bring merch out now, female Tom DeLonge, and it's your face or something. That would slap.
Oh my god! Yeah, yeah.
And we all get a percentage of that, so thank you very much.
We were involved in the IP of that design, particularly. We were in the room, as it said. We were there.
We were here.
So we get stuff.
We just get 1% each. That's all I'm willing to take.
Well, amazing. Thank you so much, guys. Great to see you all, and I'm sure we'll catch up with all of you again very, very soon.
Cheers.
Hell yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're listening to Sammy Podcast! Yes! Woo! Fucking hell, that was loud. You blew my brains out there. Jesus Christ. Yes, thank you very much to Derek, Ben, and Steph for coming on. What a fantastic chat. It was awesome. Do you know what? It was actually nice to be talking about other people's bands for a change. Rather than the guests just talking about theirs. And yeah, just to see and hear how much Blink mean to these people and how much they've inspired them and they love them is infectious. So again, thank you very much. Ben from Neck Deep, Derek from State Champs, and Steph from Grey Wind. That was great. I loved it.
Yeah, it was just a really refreshing episode to do, as you said. I love the fact that all three of the guests were just kind of talking with each other as well, having a laugh at first, making jokes, and just kind of going off where everyone was saying. And yeah, it's nice to have an episode like this, finding a subject that everyone really adores and just sharing the love for it. I think maybe we should try and do more episodes like this going forward, but especially seeing how much an impact Blink-182 have been to some of the biggest bands in the scene today. I mean, as we mentioned, Neck Deep, a headline in Slam Dunk Festival. State Champs are one of the biggest bands around right now, doing great things. I recently saw them on the UK tour, and they have so many hits. And Grey Wind are going to be there very, very soon as well. Their debut album was released back in 2017, Afterthought. It was recorded with our good friend, Jason Perry. And they've got new music on the way, and they're going to be touring in at the end of the year across the UK as well. So three great acts, and I'm glad we could get them together for this. As mentioned, of course, State Champs' new album, Kings of the New Age, is now available. So I encourage everyone to go and check it out. There's loads of features on there. It's a great, great time. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's next from Grey Wind and seeing Neck Deep live at Slam Dunk, which you will be DJing the after parties for, Sean.
Hey, they don't call me... they don't...
Wait. What they call you?
Wait, man. They don't call me... After Party Marty for nothing, right? Because I am DJing After Party. He's like, I'm coming into fashion. Jesus Literally. Christ. Yep. So, yeah, as he mentioned there, this is a nod to me doing, I'm DJing at three of the My Chemical Romance shows in the UK, two in Milton Keynes at the MK Don Stadium, potentially to 30,000 people a night, even though I'd imagine so far I've been told I'm going to be on before the bands go on. So, I could be pissed by about 6 o'clock, hopefully. Then one at the Warrington gig where I'm going to be DJing at the VIP bar. So that's going to be for people schmoozing about backstage who don't want to listen to music I want to play, who will just be drinking and asking me to turn the music down so they can talk to their friends. And then I am DJing after the Warrington gig at a venue called Asylum, which is going to be a really cool night with our friends at Deadbolt. And... Cardiff, I'm DJing at the after party for Team Up at Kong's 2. And then, as you said, I'm DJing Slam Dunk after parties as well. What else? We're DJing Download at the Doghouse stage. I'm DJing 2000 Trees after parties as well, maybe. I'm waiting to hear on that. Do you know what? They're going to start calling me Late Night Smith after this because I'm going to be fucking...
Hey, have you got a party or an after party you need a DJ for? Check out Sean Smith, the king of the after party.
Yeah, after party Marty. My name is unbelievable.
Yes, but we will be doing a live podcast at Downloads Festival coming very soon as well. So if you're heading to Donington Park this year, Thursday the 9th of June, we will be performing a live podcast in the Doghouse. So make sure you... keep an eye on at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram for more details and the timing and everything. And come and see us because it's going to be our first ever live podcast. So that means it's going to be great. Yeah.
Yes. It's either going to be us chatting bollocks to absolutely nobody or thousands of people. And that's terrifying. So yes, get in touch with us. Get in touch with us at Sapling Pod, at SAPPENINPOD. Give us a shout about who you'd like us to speak to at Download because things are currently still up in the air. So I will take on any guest suggestions. So let us have a know at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
We're also going to be at Download and Slam Dunk recording a lot of things for the podcast as well. So any suggestions, and we'll try and get them done over the weekend. But before we go into anything else, I would like to give homework to the listeners if possible this week.
God alive.
Sorry, guys. I know it's a lot to ask for, but if you're already on Twitter and the Instagram, I reckon this week we should get everyone to fucking tweet as much as they can at Mark Hoppus and or Tom DeLonge. Tell them about this episode.
Yes.
And get them on the podcast for us. Use the power of community, the internet, and Blink fandom to make this happen. They'll feel so bad that they missed episode 182 that they'll want to be on the next one for sure, I imagine.
Yeah, what I imagine now this gets out to people due to our fantastic, fantastic, beautiful listeners. That's you guys. Getting in touch with them. And they're like, oh yeah, let's do one episode. Yeah, let's do the next one. No, no, we're not doing 183. That's not, no, you cheeky bat. No, I'd be well up for that. But yeah, let's get in touch with them. Let's see what they say. Also, I heard that Mark Hoppus might be taking over from James Corden.
What? On the Late Late Show?
On the Late Late Show. Don't know if I've meant to say it out loud, but I have said it out loud. if he is, congratulations. To be honest, I'd be happy with anybody taking over from James Corden. Skeletor, Boris Johnson, anyone. No, who do I hate more, James Corden or Boris Johnson? More Boris Johnson.
Yeah, you got it. But also, congratulations to Travis Barker, who this week got married to Courtney Kardashian, if that's the right Kardashian.
Yeah, nice one, bud. Yeah, could be, I don't know. Clive got married to Clive with a K. Clive Kardashian. and Travis Barker got married this weekend. Congratulations to both of them. Your relationship isn't sickening at all, and I don't feel ill whenever I see you all over each other. Yes. You're grown up.
Also, the trailer for Tom DeLonge's film came out this week as well, I believe. And the new Angels and Airwaves is really, really good. I'm massively into that. And if you want some stories on what it's like to work with Tom DeLonge, go back to our previous episodes. One of them contains Matt Rabano of Angels and Airwaves and formerly Taken Back Sunday fame talked a lot about their relationship and everything involved with that. So go and check that out.
Also on that episode, Matt Rabano reveals something about a UFO on Tom DeLonge that I'm surprised he didn't ask us to cut out. And I'm also surprised that Tom DeLonge hasn't been raided by the FBI yet. So definitely go check out that episode about Matt Rabano if you've enjoyed this episode.
Yes, give it and remember to just send as much spam to Blink-182 this week about us as you possibly can. But let's not ramble much more. Of course, this has been a really good episode, but this wouldn't be possible without our wonderful Patreon community. Woo-hoo! So if you'd like to support the podcast in any single way, we would very much love it if you could check out patreon.com/sapnin. Over there, there's loads of extra bonuses. Recent ones include new playlists. There's being a bonus podcast of me and Sean talking about the first albums that got us into rock music. And there's just loads of behind-the-scenes elements involved there. And the community interact with each other on the daily. They're all meeting up for some of these massive shows in the UK with My Chem festivals and everything. It's really, really wonderful, beautiful, humble to see. And we'd love you to get involved. So patreon.com/sapnin. And Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of that Sapnin podcast Patreon community.
Yes, thank you very much to everybody who's already mentioned in the description of this episode. But a massive thank you goes out to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Mahusiv Leewoe. That's her word. She's written that down, not mine. Thank you very much to Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Mitch Perry, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Young, Kelly Irwin, Nathan Croshaw, Natasha Morris, Emma Barber, Sammy G, Tony Michael, Kat Besson, Dana Lasnova, Jenny Robson, Murray Grimwood, Six Gun Scotty, Amy Dawson, Kieran Olmi? Thank you very much for joining in. Yes, appreciate you. Thank you very much, Amy Louise, Alexandra Pembleton, Stuart, not Clive, despite being old enough, McNaught, Tom Owen, Caroline Robinson, Chris Auer, Joe Ackland, M. Evans Roberts, Jacob Hetherington, Kate Puttock, Martina McManus, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, Danny Eaton, James McNaught, John Smith, Jenny Munster, Kelly Cannon, Jason Heredia, Emily Perry, John and Emma, Adam King of the Goths, Parslow, Kalila Keane, John Smith, 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 John. Thank you very much. Josh, somebody just threw a jar of mayonnaise at me. I was like, what the hell, man, crisp. Is that the same as last week? Is he not bothered?
No, that's new. I haven't heard that one before.
Oh, isn't it? All right. Thank you very much. Alice Wood, Reese Bowring, Kate Stevenson, Amandine Urbano, Daniel Stevenson, Kate Theme Destroyer, David Smith, and last but no means least, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you very much to all of those people and all the names in our description. And anyone who's thinking about becoming a member of our Patreon, thank you very, very much. We appreciate you greatly.
Yes, we do. We love you more than Blink-182 love singing about what they'd like to do to some dogs. But anyway, I've loved this episode. Thank you to Ben, Derek, and Steph for joining us. And it's been the anniversary. It's been 30 years of Blink-182. And we might have another anniversary to celebrate next week. Ooh.
What? What? Do we? What? You haven't told me. Is it my birthday? No, it's not my birthday. What? What's going on?
You have to come next week to find out, John. But yeah.
All right. See you there, I guess.
I'll be there.
Oh, strange ending. Also, Ryan Chisholm forever. I'm out. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.